Come on, this is your first 5 o'clock service of the year, I think. Give the Lord a mighty praise here tonight. God is in the house. God is in the place. How awesome is this place? It must be the house of God, the gateway to heaven, the place of visions and dreams in Jesus' name. And that is what you're going to encounter this week with our fasting and our prayer. You're going to encounter God, this awesome God that has an amazing future for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Say amen. Look at the person next to you. Greet two or three people here tonight and say, God is in this place in Jesus' name. Come on. Welcome to all our churches, Praise TV, Facebook Live, YouTube, CRC Online, Instagram, people all over the world. We welcome you tonight, television stations. God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight in Jesus' name. Are you ready for 2026? In the name of Jesus. Come on, you better be chomping like a racehorse ready to run for God. The holiday is over. 2026 has started. And it's going to be a great and a mighty year of invasion. You're going to go do and great things for God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Welcome to all the CRC churches. We had amazing services today, both here in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, Blue, that I see all over South Africa. We had record attendances, yeah, by the way, and then also Johannesburg. We're excited. God is on the move. God is building His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. So we are talking about positioning ourselves. So if you want to stand throughout the sermon, you are welcome. If you want to sit, you are welcome. God bless you. I want to continue to talk about to you tonight about humbling yourself through fasting and prayer. Maybe not the theme that you want to hear. But we have to start this year in the right posture, and we have to position ourselves for what God wants to do in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Thank God we don't humble ourselves to any man. We humble ourselves before a mighty God. A God who loves you, a God who is great, a God who says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So before exaltation, there's always the process of humility. James chapter 4 verse 10, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. So without death, there can be no life. And I know that's something we struggle with because we want to get going. But before we get going into what God has for us, we have to push the pause button. And we have to position our hearts in the right place so that God's will be done through our lives. And every young person under the age of 85 says amen. So I spoke to you this morning about humility. If you were not here this morning, listen. Because humility is not self-humiliation. Humility is not weakness. As a matter of fact, humility is the place of strength that we operate from. Humility is lowering yourself before God. It is emptying yourself so that God can fill you. Like John the Baptist who said, I must decrease so that Christ can increase. More of Him and less of me in Jesus' name. So humility is aligning yourself with God's authority. And I love this. The Bible does not say God humbles you. A lot of people out there that think God puts people down. He doesn't. God is not in the putting down business. God is in the lifting up business. Jesus is the gift with a lift. No matter where you come from, no matter your past, how broken you are, how uneducated you are, God wants to elevate you. God wants to lift you in 2026 because God has great plans for you. You can say amen tonight, young person. So the Bible doesn't say other people should humble you. The Bible says humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the governing hand of God, the protective hand of God, the steady hand of God. You need to get yourself under the hand of God, under the protection of God, under the provision of God. Then God will exalt you, God will lead you, and God will guide you. So when you humble yourself, you come under God's hand. You come under God's timing. The Bible is clear that God will exalt you in due time. Say to somebody tonight, there's a time for your deliverance and your promotion. Think about David, who was a shepherd boy. I mean, his father wrote him off, his brothers wrote him off, but then God's time came. When people saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king, and God promoted him. Because David was a worshiper before he became a warrior. When you humble yourself, you come under God's protection. So before God exalts, he always positions us. He aligns ourselves with him. And let me tell you, if you walk with God like this, you are going to accomplish all God has for you. If God's hand is upon you, it doesn't matter whose hand is against you. If God is for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? I don't care how many times you failed, how hard you fell. I don't care what people think, what people say. If God is for you, your enemy will come against you one way, and God's going to drive him out before you seven ways. This year, the hand of God will elevate you. This year, the hand of God's going to bring life to you. This year, the hand of God is going to deliver you. This year, the hand of God is going to promote you. This year, as you humble yourself under the hand of God, God is going to do in your life what you cannot do for yourself. What you've waited to do for many, many years, God is going to vindicate you. God's going to bless you. God's going to favor you. God's going to open the prison door. God's going to get you where God's called you to go. Say a good amen in Jesus' name. Come on. So before God lifts us, he aligns us. Always before deliverance, there is a period where we have to humble ourselves. So tonight we declare our fast. And let me say this again. Fasting is not twisting God's arm to do anything. Fasting is aligning with the will of God in what God already decided to do on planet Earth. So one of the ways we humble ourselves is through fasting and prayer. Psalm 35 verse 13, the Bible says, I humbled myself with fasting. I humbled myself with fasting. Let's look at some Hebrew words for fasting. The first one is Anna. So if you're having a baby girl, not Hannah, Anna is a good word. That word means to humble. So when we fast, it is an act of humbling ourselves. That word means we bow down before God. This nation has to take the knee. I know our sportsmen took the knee for many reasons, and that's okay. You can bow wherever you want to. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow to any other God. We will not bow to any other graven image. We will bow to the God of heaven, and they did. To fast means you submit yourself to God's authority in your life. This word is used repeatedly for fasting. It does not imply self-hatred. It does not imply self-humiliation. I spoke about that this morning, the difference between humility and humiliation. A lot of people think humility is walking around wormy, is walking around with a sense of unworthiness. No. Your worship is established by Jesus Christ. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're accepted by God. You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a child of the living God. You're a son. You are a daughter of the living God. That's why you can keep your head up high and know that you have favor with the King. Say amen in Jesus' name. So when we fast, it means I bring my soul into submission under God. You know, the cross cuts two ways. And I understand it's reconciliation with God. God with man and man with man. But more than that, it's your will crossing God's will. That's why Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. It's one of the most difficult things for human beings to do. To vacate the throne, the seat of rulership. So when I fast, I vacate the seat of rulership. Because when I say Jesus is Lord of my life, that word Lord is kurios, which means boss. I always smile when people say, he's one of the directors in my company. He doesn't want to be director. He wants to own the company. He doesn't want to live in one of the rooms in your house. He wants the front door key to the house. He wants to own it all. He wants to sit at the center of your life. and he doesn't come and gate crash your life. He's not going to come and knock your heart open. He's going to come gently and knock at the door of your heart. Then you have to decide whether I am going to ana, whether I'm going to willingly submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful to talk about the saving grace of God. It's wonderful to talk about the deliverance of God. But that leads to a place of surrender and submission where He takes ownership of your life. So when we fast, it is a process of giving God the ownership, where we surrender all to Jesus. Our thoughts, our plans, our future, our past. We surrender all to Jesus Christ and we declare His Lordship. We bow before God. So fasting is a voluntary submission. It's not a punishment. So you're not going on a hunger strike this week. Amen? Ach man, asseblief toch. Ek weet, is 5:00 en mense word nog wakker. Maar wie van julle beplan om te vast hierdie week? How many of you are planning to fast? And those of you that can't raise your hands, we're going to drag you to the altar tonight, okay? So fasting is not a hunger strike, it's a necessity. It's part of how we serve God. Paul says, I fasted often. So you've had a great December, Christmas, New Year, and you feasted a lot, right? So I can't see you all properly because of these lights, but I'm sure some of you grew a little bit during December because of the feasting. Now we have to deal with those demons. I mean, we have to deal with those calories. We have to get rid of them. So now we have to bring the flesh into submission, into control. You let know alles geëet. I mean, you decided I'm going to have one helping, then you had two helpings. You decided I'm going to have no pudding, then you had all the pudding, right? You decided I'm going to look after myself, and then you just ate and ate and ate, and that's okay. But that's over now, right? You can't stay addicted to the chocolate cake and to the ice cream, the peanut butter ice cream and the cheesecake and everything else. No. Now you have to make up your mind. I am going to set my mind, my heart, my focus upon what God has for me. Come on, young people. As you position yourself, God's going to do great things in your life. God is going to open great doors for you. God is going to take you places you never thought possible. And you're not going to have to fret and sweat. God's going to do it because you humble yourself and you position yourself before the throne of grace. The second word for fast is the word T-S-O-M, maitsom, sal Afrikaners. It means to abstain from food to see God. So it beteken jy gaan nie eet nie. Verstaan julle wat 'n fast is? Who's going on a 21-day fast? Nobody. Who's going on a 40-day fast? Nobody. So 3 days to 7 days is okay. All right, because you're going to work. And you don't want to walk out there and appear to everybody that you are fasting. You want to act normal. You're not going to go around and say, ek sikkel want ek vas nie. No, you are going to get out there and you are get on with life and you are going to fast as a sacrifice, as an act of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. This word is not about hunger alone. It involves prayer. So fasting without prayer means nothing. It involves repenting. Repenting is not groveling around on the ground, but repenting is turning away from certain things. Actually, repenting means turn back to God with all your heart. People want to move of God, but they're in a comfortable space. And I'm going to talk about it on Tuesday when we actually fast, when we have the first fasting service. That God is attracted to our hunger. God's attracted to our brokenness. God is not attracted to pious religiosity. God's not attracted to form. God is not attracted to repeated prayers. God is attracted to people whose hearts are humble and hungry before the throne of God. We have to rend our hearts, the Bible says. We have to cry out to God, Father, rend the heavens, open the heavens, pour out your spirit upon South Africa. More than ever, we need a move of God in South Africa to break the yoke of Satan, the slavery of poverty. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus Christ, we need to see this mighty governing hand of God set things in order in South Africa in Jesus' name. So we need to stop the division. We need to stop the black, white, colored, Asian thing. We are people of God. We are the people in South Africa. We have a future and a hope. And we have a promise from God that says, a covenant promise. If my people who are called by my name, the name of Jesus, will humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. South Africa, get ready for God to heal you. South Africa, get ready for a mighty move of God. Come on, from Cape Town all the way to the most northern city, we need to get ready for the hand of God to move in an incredible way. It also means to declare your dependence. I know you can get yourself pretty far, but there are places you cannot get yourself to. What God's going to do in your life is not by might nor by power, but it will be by the Spirit of God. So Joel chapter 2, which is the prelude to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Verse 12, the Bible says, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. We can't serve God a little bit. We can't serve God, listen to this great English, done in one. We have to make up our minds that God is our everything. Not just come to church when you need something. You come to church because God becomes your everything. Remember when you first got saved? How you just loved God? How you couldn't get enough of church? How you couldn't get enough of worshiping God? How you just love people? So we want revival. We need to get back to our first love, to the beginning, where God is everything. Not God is God to bless your business, but God is God because He saved your soul. God is God because His Son died for you and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's your God because you have fallen in love with Him. This is not some religious ritual. This is a relationship of intimacy. You love God for who God is. So the Bible says, turn to me with all your heart. Everybody say, all my heart. With fasting, with weeping, with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garment. You know, when God works in your heart, He does it very privately. We can all stand here and look holy, but God knows. When you go into your inner chamber, when you pray to God in secret, when you cry out to God when nobody else watches, that's where God works. Not when we're coming together to pray, but not for ourselves. We're coming to pray for our church. We are coming to pray for our nation. We are coming to pray for our world. And by the way, our world is in chaos. Nations are in chaos. There are genocides in many nations, not South Africa, by the way, but in many other places. People are being slaughtered. Christians are being slaughtered. So we have to get a vision beyond ourselves. And we need to see this world that is hurting. And we need to care about people that are hurting, people that are broken, people that are lost. And part of fasting is aligning ourselves with God so again we can get our eyes off ourselves. As I said this morning, humility, C.S. Lewis said, humility is thinking less of yourself. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking less often of yourself. Amen? Thinking about God, thinking about other people. Not making yourself the center of the attention all the time, but getting off that place and allowing the grace of God to take that space so that you can become the vessel of honor that God will use in this season in South Africa. So God says, return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He will turn and relent, South Africa? And leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly, which we are doing this week. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the nursing babies. I see a lot of you have your children in church tonight, which is actually scriptural. I don't know that they had children's church in those days. Everybody was standing before God. Parents, teenagers, children, they all stood before God. Amen. So we're not going to, yes, babies as well. Now, Angie, the children's shirt will stay. You know, we raised our kids in the presence of God. Every revival meeting, we brought our children. That's why they serve the Lord. Not I'm the greatest parent or Noretta was the greatest mother. We raised them in the presence of God. We didn't leave them home and come to church. They slept, they grew up in church under the pews. Angelique got baptized in the Holy Ghost when she was two years old. Couldn't hardly talk. But the Spirit of God came upon her and she fell over and laughed for hours. And I said to her, what happened, Angie? She said, Holy Spirit or whatever. She didn't know what she was saying. She was baptized, speaking in tongues, 2 years old. Two. Yes. Okay, Leah. 2 years. You are 4 years. 3 years. How old are you? Well, there are so many I've lost count. And there are more to come. Praise God. No. Get your own children. I've got enough grandchildren. Thank you. Okay. So he says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Let the priest, now listen, pastors, all over South Africa. Our number one calling is on our knees, not on social media. I'm going to say it again. Our number one calling is on our knees, not on social media. I'm going to say it again. Our number one calling is on our knees, not on everybody advising you how to promote your ministry and how to promote your church. All the smarts and the sharps that the world is using, and you think you're going to build your church that way. Yes, sure, we learn from certain things. But I promise you, if we take all the lights out, and we don't have smoke machines anymore, thank God, and we just stood here, God would show up. We do certain things so that people who are not churchgoers can identify. But nothing stops God from touching a young person in a club because you are praying. Touching your child because you are praying. Our gimmicks do not change people. The authentic presence of God, the anointing. When people walk into a place and God is there, they know it. When you put your hand on somebody, they know whether God is in your hand, your conversation. So he says to the priests, you want to see a move of God? Then weep between the porch and the altar. Now you're not praying for yourself. You're praying for the people. You're praying for the nation. You're praying for the backslider. You're praying for the lost. You're praying for those that are bound. You are praying your priestly authority to set the captives free. Let them say, spare your people, O God. We're going to cry for South Africa right this week. We are going to pray for our cities this week. We are going to pray for our churches. We are going to pray for the backsliders. We are going to pray for the prodigals. We are going to cry out to God this week that God will spare His people, that God will save our nation. Come on. There's no substitute without the move of God, without revival, without the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. People need to be touched by God. Every generation needs an encounter with this living God, because the day you are touched by God, you will know it. Everybody will see it, because your life can never be the same again. We do not want this watered down religion. We want a move of God. We want the power of God. We want the presence of God. We want the hand of God. Come on, in Jesus' name. Let your heart get hungry for the Lord and give Him a praise tonight in Jesus' name. You need to get hungry. 12-year-olds, you need to get hungry. 13-year-olds, you need to get off TikTok and get on your knees and ana and bow before God and cry out to God and pray for your parents and pray for your church and pray for your pastor and pray for your leaders and pray for your nation. You need to cry out to God, because it is prayer that moves the mighty hand of God in Jesus' name. And if we do our part in prayer, God will do the rest. We will not build buildings big enough to contain this revival. And the promise of that is God will pour out His Holy Spirit. The second or the third word for fasting is kana, and it means to bend the knee in a place of surrender. An inner posture reflecting on the outside. You don't strut around. You can walk confidently, but you walk humbly. You lower yourself in your heart, in your mind, in the sight of the people. You bow. The difference between David and Saul was David wasn't a perfect man, but the Bible says he was a man after the heart of God, because David served the will of God all the days of his life. Saul, on the other hand, was Mr. Perfect. But what did he do? He became prideful and he built monuments for himself, and it was about him and not the purpose of God. Our lives are not about us. Our lives are about the purpose of Christ. Your business is not about you. Yes, it is what God's given you and you are responsible. But God's given it to you so that you can fulfill His purpose. Your gifts, your talents, your calling. It's for the purpose of God. So when you kana, you say, I bow before you. When I go to work, I will receive the accolades, but I'll go home in the evening. I will kneel at my bed and I will say, thank you, Father. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. Everything I have comes from you in the name of Jesus. You are never going to take the glory. You are never going to take the praise. Oh, you will take the honor for a moment. You will take the accolade, but you will go back to your God and you will say, Father, I give you the worship. I give you the praise. I give you all the glory that people gave to me. I give it back to you. I reflect it back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're not talking about living in false humility. If you're the best employer, which you will be, employee, and you get the prize and the special bonus, you thank everybody, and it doesn't help there, you say, well, it wasn't actually me, it's Jesus. No, they don't understand it. What matters is when you go home. What matters is that you go before God and you bow before God and say, Father, I know it's not my might and it's not my power. It is by your grace and your grace alone. You deserve all the glory and all the praise. Nobody has to see it, but you're gonna have to give it to God every day of your life. To give God the thanks and the praise for what the Lord has done in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, man. How many of you can say God has done great things in your life? God's been good to you. God has favored you. God has blessed you. Give Him the kana. Bow before the Lord. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, thank you. I'm undeserving. I never deserved everything, anything, but by your grace, Father, I acknowledge, I thank you, I appreciate, I thank you for the smallest to the largest. You give God the praise and the thanks, the honor and the recognition. So if we humble ourselves, we release God to move in our lives. Jehoshaphat, when three armies attacked him, 9 minutes left, and the odds were so stacked against him, they had no answer in the natural. So Jehoshaphat, the king, he goes and he kanas. He positions himself before God. First alone, then he calls a fast. In our country, we need leaders that will bow the knee to a power higher. Pastors, when you get off the pulpit and you go through your social media, which I don't do, and you go read everybody's comments and likes, you better put that phone aside and go on your knees sometime, bow your knee before God and just say, thank you. Thank you for using me, because it's your grace. It's your anointing. Give Him the thanks. You're a reflector, not of yourself. You are there to reflect Him, to worship Him. So when the armies come, Jehoshaphat fears. Sometimes things come against us and we're afraid, we're uncertain. The future is unknown. But what does he do? What we should do, he set himself to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everybody came together. Everybody prayed. Imagine what's going to happen if the church in South Africa will stand together and pray together. We're going to see a move of God, because it's not about a denomination, a church name. It's about the kingdom of God in South Africa. And they say, Father, we build this sanctuary. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famines, we will stand before you in this temple, in your presence, for your name is in this temple. Hallelujah. And we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear us, and you will save us. And yeah, God comes, and God turns a warfare into a worship experience. And God says, you don't have to fight in this battle. All you have to do is position yourself. Stand still. Humble yourself. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And when they did this, God dealt with the enemy. When they bowed the knee, God showed up. When they submitted their soul to God, their willpower, God showed up. God intervened. He turned that war zone into a worship place. When Judah humbled themselves, that's when God became a mighty warrior. Think about Esther for a moment. She was beautiful. She had influence. But then Haman sends a word, an evil man, to destroy all the Jews. And Mordecai comes and he sends a word to her. And I want to read this. She doesn't rely on her beauty. She doesn't rely on her natural favor. Yeah, a woman of God sees that our people are about to be destroyed. And what does she do? She humbles herself. She doesn't posture before the king. She doesn't use her influence. She doesn't try and get away around the situation. She runs to God. And verse 13 of Esther chapter 4, the Bible says, Mordecai told him to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews, meaning your goose is cooked. You're going to die with all the other Jews, although you are his favorite one. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. There's a death sentence. You're done. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, listen now, you gather all the Jews, gather the church who are present in Pretoria, in Cape Town, in Bloemfontein, in Johannesburg, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids will, and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And what happens is, God turns the king's heart because they humble themselves and they pray. They don't rely on anything else. Sometimes when things come against us, we want to act in the flesh. But the best thing you can do is to lower yourself, to humble yourself, and to trust God in the situation. So she never relied on her position. She humbled herself, and the result is the king reversed the decree. Laws passed in South Africa, God can change them. Amen. Things happening in our country, God can change them if we will pray. The enemy is exposed, and Haman, the hater of the Jews, is the one that gets killed by the king. The result is a nation is saved. Because her humility moved the throne of God. Ezra, Nehemiah, when they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, when they were attacked, he makes the following statement in Ezra chapter 8 verse 21. He says, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before God. Again, the enemy has infiltrated them. The enemy is attacking them. The enemy is trying to stop the work of God. Ezra, Nehemiah does what they know to do. They proclaim a fast. They position themselves before God, and God intervenes again, and God delivers them, and God protects them. Because Ezra said, I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road. Because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon us. Hallelujah. All those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. We humbled ourselves. We honored ourselves before God. Meaning we publicly declared our dependence upon God. You need to take your family and stand before God and say, Father, we put this year into your hands. Home cells come together. Zones come together. Churches come together. Declare your dependence upon God. I don't care how strong you are, how brave you are, how talented you are, how gifted you are. Even more so, you have to humble yourself. Declare your dependence upon God, and you will see what God is going to do in your life. Daniel, humility that opened heaven. Firstly, the amazing thing is when Daniel is throwing in the lion's den, the king fasts and prays for him. The very one that puts him in prison is the one that prays that God will save him, and God answers the unrighteous king's prayer and shuts the lion's mouth. Then Daniel, we know his fast of 21 days is because it took 21 days for him to get an answer. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So there was a war in the heavenlies. Nineveh, closing. I preached about Jonah many times, and actually never thought about it this way. Nineveh was, they were evil people. And God sends Jonah to go preach, and he preaches for 3 days through the city, repentance, and nobody repents. These were evil people. They were people that when they killed their enemies, they piled the skulls of those people outside the city gates. They ruled with fear. They were vicious. They skinned people. God says, I'm going to destroy you from the face of the earth. Jonah preaches, nobody repents. Then Jonah runs away. He runs away from God. He's not interested to go back to that city. Because God is a merciful and God is a gracious God. Listen, Jonah 3. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. And they proclaimed a fast. The most evil people alive at that time turned to God. And you would think, but God, please, wipe them over the face of the earth. No, he could not. Why? Because God is merciful and God is gracious. And when you humble yourself, and when you pray to God, God hears your prayer. God will not walk away from you. So don't you walk away from him. No matter what, you run to him, you press into him, and you trust him. So verse 6 of Jonah chapter 3, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh that God was going to wipe out his city. And he arose from the throne and he laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king arose. He removed his robe. That is authority bowing before God. We need leaders that will bow. So when we pray, we don't pray for judgment, or we don't speak judgment upon the rulers of our land. We pray for people that will bow. And they may sit and talk on television. You don't know what's happening in their private chamber. Tonight, one of them can be in bed. And the hand of God can come. The presence of God can come. And that minister or that leader in Africa can fall out of his bed and bow at the foot of his bed and cry out to God. And God will hear his prayer. And God will save his land. Come on, say amen. In the name of Jesus, we are believing that God is going to move in South Africa. That God is going to move in our nation, in our cities, in our continents, in our world. As we humble ourselves, we believe that God is going to move in our church. This is going to be the greatest year that we have ever had for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Shout amen in Jesus' name. So closing, God's promise when you fast and pray. There's always a promise, right? Isaiah 58 verse 5, the Bible says, is this not the fast that I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness? This week, things are going to be broken off people's lives, spiritually off our nation, to undo heavy burdens. things that have pushed you down for many years, God's going to lift it. To let the oppressed go free. I pray for the day that there will no longer be poverty in South Africa, that I will see our nation blessed, that I will see no person standing at the street begging for a meal. I pray that this land will be a delightsome land before I go heaven, before I go home to be the Lord with the Lord. I want to see that day where our children have jobs, where young people are employed, where you have the choice of two or three jobs. I pray that this country will be the prosperous, blessed country that God said we can be. And let me tell you, it's going to be by the hand of God. As we humble ourselves, God's going to turn the economy around. God's going to turn our country around. The Bible says, and we have that promise in Isaiah chapter 60, violence will no longer be heard in your borders. Our country will be the safest country in South Africa. Our women and our children will be safe in South Africa. Come on, I need you to agree with me in Jesus' name. Because that's a promise we have. Doesn't matter what we see in the natural, we have a promise. We have a promise that you don't have to leave South Africa to find a job in Europe or in Australia or America or wherever. But you can stay in this land where God has placed you. This is your land. This is where God has a future for you. And when you position yourself before God, under the mighty hand of God, you are in a safe place. Doesn't matter what you see in the natural, what you hear, you're in a safe place. Because God guides you. God governs your life. God protects you. No matter what law, what decree is passed, Esther, they will change it for your sake because of the favor of God. I don't care what that employment policy says. You will get the job if God meant for you to get the job. Don't limit yourself because of decrees that have been passed. Esther did not. She changed the decree. You know, there's the rule, but there's the exception, and the exception comes because of God's favor. You, under the hand of God, favored, protected, blessed, living here. Not a hand that puts you down, but a hand that wants to elevate you. A hand that loves you. A hand that guides you. That's what the Bible says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I said it this morning. For those of you that weren't here, the mighty hand of God is not the gentle hand of God. There's a time where God's hand will be gentle, where God will come and comfort you and encourage you, etc. But this is the mighty hand of God. That's a governing hand. That's a forceful hand. That's a hand that's in control, a hand that changes history, a hand that governs nations, a hand that can remove people, a hand that lifts one and removes another. That's the hand we talk about. When you're under that hand, you're in a safe place. Amen. Do this for a moment. Just put your hand over your, maybe your hair's going to grow. Put your hand there. That's where you live. You live under God's hand. It's not a restrictive hand. It's not a forceful hand that forces you down. It's a hand that calls you into alignment with God, where you walk with Him, where you humble yourself. Well, you know, this is my safe place. No matter what happens, you can return here. That mighty hand will exalt you in due time, in God's time. Not your time, but God's time is perfect. Because the seasons and the times are on the hand of God. You learn to trust God. You learn to rest in this place under the hand of the Lord. A mighty hand, a merciful hand, a loving hand, a gracious hand. Not condemning, not judgmental. A hand that lifts. A hand that blesses. A hand that releases favor upon your life. As you put yourself in that place of alignment with God, it says this fast is to break every yoke. I'll be close now. He says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? So you're not saving your grocery bill this week. Amen. Ach, do no man. And you, if you're shopping at Woolies, you're not now suddenly going to go shop at some other place and give that food to people. No, you're still going to buy the food you were going to eat. Amen? It's not you cutting your salary bill, young people, because you spend too much in holiday. Now you go buy 3 days' food and you go give it to somebody that's poor. Amen. It's part of fasting. It's not you save. It's taking the money that you would have spent. And please don't give people cash. I'm guilty of that. I give a lot of people cash at the robots. I say, what are you going to do with the money? I'm going to buy food. I know they lied to me. But you know, the Bible says, if you have something, then give to those who ask you. So I must take my wallet out of my car. Because if I see that person stand and they say, please give me. I said to a guy the other day, people are funny. He was acting like he was a cripple with his leg. So I gave him money. Then a few weeks later, I saw him. Then he was crippled with the other leg. So I said to him, now what happened? I said, look, people want to help you. You don't have to act crippled. You can stand with dignity. But people drive past this robot and people like me notice there's nothing wrong with your legs. So I'm not giving you money again, because I see that leg got healed. Now I know the other leg will also be healed. Amen. Because obviously he got tired of the one leg. So that's funny. It is actually very funny what people do. He says, so when you see the naked, you cover them. Daai rokke wat jy nog nie aangepas het in die laaste 3 jaar nie. Dis nou tyd om daai rokke weg te gee. Want daai rokke is te groot vir jou. Wat het julle gedink? Ek sê hulle is te klein. Nee, hulle is te groot. Hulle is te groot. Jy gaan nooit weer teruggroei in daai rigting nie. Because you committed. We all have a lot of stuff, right? Some of us more than others. So this week, it's part of fasting, by the way. You go clear your cupboards. And not the stuff with holes in. True story, years ago, people sent tea bags to missionaries, used tea bags. Yeah, what? Used tea bags. And, you know, when you bring clothes, please just wash it before you bring it. We don't have a laundry yet at the church. We don't give people our worst. If you have 3 jackets, you have 20 shirts, there are certain things you've not worn the last year, the chances that you will wear it is zero. But we all are the same. I know. And we think, yeah, I'm going to wear that one day. No, if you've not worn it in a year, you're not going to wear it. So go through your cupboard, take out all your beautiful stuff that you're not wearing, and go bless somebody. Put honor upon somebody. Don't make them feel humiliated. Go bless people. Send people. Clothe people. Go help people. Clothe the naked. Amen. Amen. As you clothe people, as you feed people, you are releasing God to clothe you, and you are releasing God to feed you. That means your business. That means your future. You're doing the right thing. Fasting is to get your eyes off yourself. Fasting is to get your eyes back on God. And fasting is to get your eyes on the need of humanity, the suffering of people around you. God's promise is, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. How many of you are ready for God to answer big prayers this week? Amen. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? The place where you lower yourself. The place where you bow the knee before God. The place where you put God in charge and control of your life. Then your light shall spring forth speedily. I really believe with all my heart, really. You know, we do this in the beginning of the year. It's not some religious exercise. It really is where we come. Individually and as a church, we seek the mind and the counsel of God. And we stand in the gap for other people. We stand in the gap for our cities. We stand in the gap for the nations. We cry out to God, firstly for ourselves, which we will do on Tuesday. I love the scripture that I'm going to share, where the prophet comes and he says, rend the heavens, O God. It's a cry of desperation. So Tuesday is not going to be a prayer meeting. It's not going to be a preaching a meeting. It's going to be a declaration of desperation, where we are going to cry out to God, rend the heavens, Father. Open the heavens. Break the heavens. Let heaven come. Let heaven invade our earth. Let there be a mighty invasion of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing else that will change humanity. There's no hope for South Africa outside of the mighty hand of God. Come on, if you receive the word tonight, give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Coming in all our churches. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Back to the Jesus song, please. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. We praise you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands with me for a moment. Hallelujah. Come on. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, pray a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We worship you, Lord Jesus. 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 Surely the Lord is in this place. The other one. We worship you, Jesus. Come on. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Come on, in all our churches, we reach out to Him. We reach out to Him. We magnify you. We praise you. We worship you. We declare our need for you, our want for you, Father. We pray that you will pour out your Spirit this week. We pray that people will encounter you like never before. Every church, Father, every place where people worship you in this country, let it be the place of God. Let it be a year, Father, where people will return to the house of God, where multitudes will come, the backsliders will come, the prodigals will come. They will return to you, Father. They will run back to you, Father. They will love you again, Father. Let your Spirit move in us as we come to bow before you. In our hearts, we give you the worship. We give you the worship. You alone are worthy, Jesus. We give you the worship. Come on, forget about everything and just worship Him for a moment. Love on God. Come on, love on Him. Love on Him. Surely the Lord is in this place. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Come on there in Bloemfontein, lift your hands. God is in the place. Come on, Church of Revival, come on.
Surely the Lord is in this place.
Come on, Johannesburg.
Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. How full of all was then a man. Surely the Lord is in this place.
As we stand in this place of worship tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. Maybe you're standing here tonight and your life is not in alignment with God. We've all been in a car where a wheel is out of alignment. And the steering wheel shakes. And that alignment has to come, or that car becomes a risk. You're standing here tonight there in Johannesburg, in Bloemfontein, Port Elizabeth, George, Gaborone, Windhoek. And in your heart you just know you're not in alignment with God. Doesn't matter what caused it. You've drifted away. You've wandered away. Tonight, God's working in your heart. And God's calling you back to himself. At the start of this year that you will come. Not as a work of the flesh. But you will come and give your heart to him. Put Jesus at the center of your life. Give him his rightful place. Hier staan hy vanaand. Jy het nie geloof sekerheid nie. As jy sou sterwe, weet jy nie dat jy die ewige lewe sal beerwe nie. Maar vanaand staan jy in hierdie plek. As jy voel, en God klop aan die deur van jou hart vanaand. En is jou tyd om jou ja te sê vir Jesus. God will never force himself on you. All God will do is knock. And you have to open the door. And say yes to Jesus. So before we go any further, while people are praying in all our churches, tonight you're standing in this place and you say, Pastor, my life's not right with God. I need a fresh start with God. I want to surrender all to Jesus. Maybe you serve God, you've wandered away from him. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship where you put your life under the control of God. And only you can do that. Only you can open the door of your heart. Only you can say, yes, Jesus, I need you. We saw tonight kings, rulers, prophets bow and give God his rightful place. What about you tonight? Tonight, he doesn't stand as your judge, stands as your savior with his arms open wide and he says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Tonight, you need to make a decision to put your life in his hands. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. You say, that's me. I need a fresh start with God, a new beginning. I want to pray for you. There's no shame in this. There's freedom. There's deliverance. As you put your life in his hand, that's you tonight saying, I need a new beginning, a fresh start with God. If that's your desire, quietly wherever you are, just lift your hand. I want to say a prayer for you quickly. Slip your hand up high all over this place. Raise it up in the name of Jesus. Quickly, slip it up high. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up high, high. Thank you. God bless you. Slip it up. Say yes. Tonight I'm coming home. Tonight I'm coming home in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at you. Many of you raised your hands. Some of you brought your friends. Your love for your friend is going to bring him to Jesus Christ tonight. So we're going to sing this song. You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to surrender your life to Christ? I want you to leave your seat in a moment and walk down to the altar. You say, that sounds like a big deal. No, it's an act of humbling yourself and giving yourself back to Jesus. So all over this place, come on. If you brought your friend, bring your friend to the altar. If you raised your hand, leave your seat wherever you are. Come down the aisle closest to you. We're going to say a prayer together. And God's going to do something great in your life tonight. Come on. Don't stay in your seat. Leave your seat and come walk this way now. God is in the house. God's love, God's favor, God's grace, God's mercy is here tonight. He's waiting for you. Come on, young person. There in Bloemfontein, leave your seat. Johannesburg, leave your seat. Come to the altar tonight. Come on. Come on, let's clap, 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 clap. Surely the Lord is in this place. That means forgiveness. That means mercy. That means grace is in this place. Come on, young man, tonight. Come on, there are more of you. There's a stirring in your spirit, in your heart tonight. God brought you to this place to save you. Leave your seat and come. Surely the Lord. Come on, vanaan. Come on, vanaan. Grijp jou vriend aan die hand. Bring hem naar die altaar toe vanaan. Come on, in Jesus' naam. Come on. Surely the Lord is in this place. One more time. Surely.
Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place.
dancing and people are still walking in Bloemfontein. Come. We lift you up, Jesus. Surely the Lord is in this place.
Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. How full of awe must stand a man. Surely the Lord is in this place.
A blessing. I mean, this girl sings, the fire of God falls. She's a blessing. She's a, you're all a blessing. But she sang tonight. That was great. You blessed me this morning. You blessed me tonight. I love church, man. I love church. I love church. Not because, you know, most of the time I stand there in worship, half the time I'm going to cry, then Lufuno looks at me and he thinks something is wrong with me. No, nothing is wrong with me. I'm just enjoying the presence of God. Then I have to compose myself before I get on the platform because I'm the pastor. I wish sometimes I could just sit there without having to preach. Then I'm really going to worship without worrying about sound and worrying about everything else. And you have all this privilege just to walk in here, to have an amazing music ministry like this. Yeah. I mean, they are great with these songs today. Amen. Amen. The Lord is in this place. I feel God, yeah, not because of me. Listen, I feel God. I walk in here in the worship and it's like, ach nee man, moet julle nou dit doen? Can't you just stay there in the shallow waters and then they take you to a place and you feel God, right? And factually, when God touches me, I'm a baby. I'm a baby. I lose my composure. So it's just how it is. There's nothing like God's presence. You can't be a main mana. That's why pastors who don't worship their congregations really need to rethink that. Because I'm first a child of God before I'm a pastor. That's why I don't stand on the platform and twiddle my fingers and look at how you worship God. And I thank God I stand in the front. I don't have to look at you worshiping God. I can just worship God. That's our calling, to worship Him, to love Him. Amen. Whether you are a doctor, advocate, businessman, doesn't matter. This is where we humble ourselves, when we worship. No matter who thinks what? You just love God. Every Sunday that you come here, this is your time to worship Him, to love God, to receive the Word, to process the Word, and to apply the Word. This is life. The church is God's plan for all of us. It's not a place we visit. It's a place where God plants us. It's a place of communion. It's a place where we love one another. It's a place where we share God's vision, a dream for us as a church and for our nation. So if you're not planted in that church and you can't get planted here because you don't feel comfortable here, then you need to get planted somewhere. You can't be a church hopper. You need to be planted in the house of God and become a brother and a sister of covenant. You know what that means? Covenant? Huh? Covenant. We have covenant. It's not a walk in, walk out. It's not a restaurant. It's a church. And if God planted you here, this is where you should be. If He didn't, then go where God's planted you. I'm not rejecting you. I'm telling you, no matter how big our church is, we do remain a family. And we dream a dream that God has given us. And we will protect our dream and our unity so that we can advance God's kingdom for His glory. Amen. When the day comes that I don't have the microphone 100 years from now, the church will still be here. Amen. Because I don't own it. It's not mine. It's His. I never build it. He's building it. He. And His name is Jesus. And He said, I will build my church. Not your church. My church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. So let's be that church. A loveless church will not impact a loveless world. The church. This, read that, pointing of the finger. That's part of fasting. Put away the pointing of the finger. You don't point your finger to somebody. You don't point your finger to another church. You don't point your finger to another Christian. When you humble yourself, this finger no longer goes this way. Your focus becomes on yourself. Bible says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. You humble yourself. Me humble myself in the sight of God, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. When God's hand is upon your life, you're going to be fine. You may not know what this year holds. You may not have a job. But if you're under God's hand, God will open a door for you. God will favor you. God will bless you. You're waiting for that allocation in a university. You keep yourself under the hand of God. You don't step out from under God's divine governing hand and now you try and fight for yourself. When you fight, God cannot and will not. When you worship, God will act on your behalf. So you're in a safe place. Amen. Let's pray together. Put your hand on your heart tonight. All of us, let's pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I give my life back to You. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for my sin. I believe You went to hell in my place, but You rose. You rose from hell. You defeated the devil. You ascended into the heavenlies. You are alive. And tonight, I open my heart and I invite You, Jesus Christ, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I give my life back to You. Thank You for a new life and a new beginning. I'm excited, Father, for the things that You have in store for my life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.